I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The legends are going on tour, and again, there's a silver lining. Dublin, February 27th, 2014. Olympic Theatre Dublin, Jamie Carragher and Diddy Herman. Their Champions League story. Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman and Jason McAteer. Norway, 26th and 27th of March, 2014. In Oslo and Bergen. All the details online, fivetimes.co. Tickets already selling fast. Don't be the one to miss out. Fivetimes.co.
Righty hell. I almost fucked this up. This podcast. I never know how to introduce it. You know.
Five times from the Hilton.
Because you can't say good morning, good afternoon, or anything, because you don't know where people are listening to it, you know. They're listening to it in another part of the world.
Hello, good day, and welcome to the Hilton. Hello. This is Ian St. John.
Yeah.
And alongside me are two Muppets.
A couple of fucking Muppets.
and then Roy Evans is on the other side. Come on then.
Right, okay. Hello and welcome to the Liverpool Football Association Former Players podcast here at the Hilton Hotel. This is Ian St. John presenting today, and with me I've got Roy Evans, as we all know, and blast from the past, and Jim Beglin, who hasn't been on the programme before. Jim, first time?
No, I've been on a couple of times.
Have you?
Saying,
not with me, you haven't.
Well, I thought it was your first time as well.
It just shows, are they keeping us apart? For what reason?
Maybe.
They're keeping us apart.
We must have the same opinion on everything. Great minds and all that.
Or maybe we'll start arguing.
Keep the Irish, good chance of that too.
Keep the Irish and the Scots apart.
So remember, it is our country, by England. Let's get on with it.
Okay, well, stand up when you come into them. Talking about boys about legends, and we have to promote, because this is what we do here in the Five Times, we've got to promote things that we do. We do a lot of things for charity, and we also do, you know, little gigs, speaking gigs and whatever around the country, and we've got some coming up. The Five Times Legends, and we're in Dublin in February, Birmingham in March, Norway, and I was over there recently, terrific, that's in March, and you've got a chance to see Robbie Fowler, McManaman, Carragher, Barnes, Haman, Aldridge and McAteer. We're not there, lads, but to talk about the good old days. So details you can find on www.fivetimes.co. Okay, now, what about the football at the moment, lads? Again, we're up there, and I think competing, maybe, do we think maybe for the title, or are we just competing to be in the top four, Roy?
I think most of it, first of all, is I think the top four. I think that's the basic thing you want to do. You want to get into that top four. We haven't been there for a long time, and it's important, I think, for the club and the fans. We get back in there, that gives you the ability, I think, to buy some of the top players and to hold on to your top players in many cases as well. But the back of your mind, you've always got to have, and I think it's the manager, I think he's been very clever, Brendan. At the back of his mind, he must think, well, maybe we've got a little bit of a chance somewhere. Right. You've got to believe a little bit. If you don't believe,
I think so,
if you don't believe, you can't win it. Having said that, if you're looking for reality and you're looking at the latest performances, which have been great to watch, I have to say I've enjoyed watching some of the football. I thought we were unlucky over the Christmas period with a couple of poor decisions that went against us, but you know, we went to Stoke and to win there, which we haven't won more before, and it was great. We've got problems defensively, we've got to sort out, but overall I'm really enjoying the football, and hopefully, you know, if we can improve on the defensive side, we can improve on our league position.
Jim, are we top four, or are we going to even go a little bit better than that?
Well, I've been saying since the start of the season that top four is the reality. I mean, I think this is kind of bonus time that, you know, 6 points off the pace at this stage. I think the half-term report read really well for Brendan Rodgers. And although it's very disappointing what happened at Man City, where at least the draw was deserved, sure, and then the Chelsea result where maybe, you know, the Man City game caught up with Liverpool a little bit, I just think that it's not necessarily a negative, because I think had there been two good results in those games, I think everybody then gets the expectation way up there. And I mean, you would have experienced that before, or yourself, when you were managing, kind of got close to things as well. I think when the pressure kind of can increase a little bit, so it's not such a bad thing in many ways to stay under the radar a bit, because it could be one of those seasons, you know.
Yeah.
Because Man City in the early part of the season were a bit kind of hit and miss, their away form was a bit dodgy. Chelsea, of course, seem to be getting it going a bit defensively now, and that kind of dogged defensive thing. But, you know, if they have a little kind of blip or two in the latter half of the season, then maybe it could be, you know, Liverpool that pounce and kind of make up the ground. So I think just staying a little bit off the pace is not necessarily a bad thing.
It's the most interesting season for a long time.
Yeah.
For me, I think it's the most interesting. Yeah. Everyone's more or less together. No one's 15 points ahead.
If there's a bit of dog-eat-dog as the season comes to its conclusion, where they start, the teams at the top all start taking points off each other, and Liverpool stay on a run, then you can just slip through there, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. But the way we're playing in the attacking side of it is fantastic. I mean, it's been Suarez, great to see Sturridge back. Coutinho, for me, has had a little spell, but he's not quite been at his best
since the injury.
But if he was to get back to that level again, then you know you've got some attacking force. I've said it before on different things. Steven Gerrard playing a bit deeper for me is not where I want to see him, but you know, I'd rather see Lucas and Henderson behind him somewhere.
Do you think he did that more so because it was Stoke and he just wanted a little bit more kind of
aggression? Yeah, but I think he's done it in a lot of the games. I'm not sure whether that's what Steven likes. I mean, obviously Steven is a big influence on build a team around Steven, but Steven will have a big say in where he plays. And for me, where he plays at this minute, just deeper than everybody else, is that he gets a lot more possession, but it's easy possession.
Yeah.
He's not under pressure, and he doesn't influence the game as much
right,
as he does when he goes further forward. I mean, Lucas going further forward, well, he's never going to score you a million goals. He's got to be the out and out sitter for me. Although, of course, he doesn't have the same range of passing as Steven, so it's a bit, you know, catch 22. But for me, I'd rather see maybe two or three more years of Steven further forward at his very, very best, and maybe five of them just sat back in that defensive role.
I think that is one of the questions that fans ask all the time, is what is the best position for Steven in our team? What he did at Stoke, I mean, he could play that with an overcoat on, couldn't he? I mean, it's so easy for him, sitting there, getting it and knocking it and, you know, bossing the game. I thought he was terrific. I like him, like you were saying, Roy. I like him to be in the edge of the box.
Yeah.
I like him to be up there, you know,
backing
up.
There.
Yeah, backing up.
There, yeah.
And because, I mean, he's got a great shot, he can see openings. He's just such a clever player. So you miss him in the attacking sense when you play him deep. But then again, you know, we've got to look at our back four and say, well, maybe they need a bit of help. Would you say so, James?
Well, the first thing, I mean, I did the game on Sunday. I was down there at the Britannia. And when I had a little look at Stoke in advance, the first thing I kind of noted about Stoke was stop the crosses. Because Tony Pulis might have gone, but they're still as direct as you like. And they're still powerful and they get it forward early. And you've got to stop them crossing the ball. And I thought that's an area Liverpool could have done a little bit better. Maybe Johnson and Sissoko at times. But,
I think they did it well for about, as Brendan said, for about 38 minutes.
Yeah.
And then
and
the first time they knocked off, it cost them a goal.
Yeah. So, but you know, sometimes as well, I'd actually be much more positive about that in general, on the back of what Roy said. I love what Liverpool are doing going forward. The fact that Sturridge came back with those two together again, they were at it. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, and it's not just the case of Liverpool being better in possession. I think the counter attacking is devastating now with the two of those boys.
Yeah.
That's another element to the game which I think is really good. But I think some games can develop a personality of their own, and we've all been in them. You know, you're trying to get a bit of control on things, you want to keep it tight, but it just takes off in that direction. So I wouldn't be too hard on things defensive. Yes, improvements have to be made, but it's just one of those. I'd rather be winning 5-3 than boring 1-0
by a million miles. But you know, down by the end of the day, that somewhere else you start playing the better teams, and if you don't defend well, the problem I have with the defensive side of it is that they're not defending well individually, and they're also not defending well as a unit. And you know that obviously defending sometimes starts from the front.
Yeah.
Now I think Suarez does a great job in that. He closes people down. He makes it. You know, the midfield does a reasonable job on that. Somewhere along the line, we've got to get a better unit defensively. Even the goalkeeper, for me, and I'm not looking at the negatives there. I'm just trying to say where we need to improve. He's got to start coming up for a few more crosses at the end of the day because he looks a little bit suspect. Great shot stopper for me, brilliant. You know, to just give them lads a little bit more confidence, he maybe has to start coming for a few more balls.
I mean, it's not as if it's new either, because I mean, I remember Brendan Rodgers saying that pre-season, that looking last season, because he changed the style of play, it opened Liverpool up a little bit defensively. They were kind of leaking goals last season that he shouldn't have been. And it's kind of carried into this season as well. I mean, at the start of the season, it looked as if 3-1-0 wins to open the season, it looked as if it was tightening up a little bit, but as things have gone by, it's opened up again.
And there's been no continuity in the defence, has there been different players?
That's the other thing as well. I mean, he has tinkered a fair bit with the defence. I remember him playing 4 centre-backs against Southampton. He had a back 3 for a while. On Sunday, looking back, and I know it's something you played with, would you have gone to Stoke with 3 central defenders? You can still kind of, if Sturridge was a little bit fitter, you could still go with the 2 up front, but maybe 3 and wing backs at Stoke.
Yeah, maybe you would go that way. Only Brendan can pick that team. He can only see what goes on here and the way they play. It's a choice the manager has to make, isn't it? I did it because I thought it gave a little bit more solidity defensive wise. Yeah. When we played as a 4, we were always a little bit exposed. And it's a bit like one thing. And if you attack and attack and attack, obviously you leave yourself a little bit more open. And you know, I had similar problems at the end of the day, but I do believe if you're going to win championships or you're going to get into top 4, you've got to have a good basis at the defensive end of the pitch.
Do you think then, with the transfer window coming to a close shortly, do we need another defender? Do we need somebody in there?
Maybe you do, maybe you don't at the end of the day, but I'm not a great lover of this January window. Because I don't think you get the best players. I think you're sort of spending your money on something that might improve your squad, might not. I mean, having said that, we got Suarez in that window, and
there's Coutinho as well. Sturridge.
Are you going to take? Are you going to take that back? What you said?
No. I just don't like it. The window. Sometimes I think if you're in desperate stakes, and sometimes you get caught out. Certainly, the lower clubs, they throw the money in. I'd rather wait till it was planned or whatever.
Yeah.
I try and if there was one outstanding one that came on and you think, that's the one I want, then the owner should back him. Yeah.
Because don't forget, Aga gets injured and has been injured and really hasn't been a force this year. And, you know, there's a lot of talk that he's thinking about moving anyway. So, you know, if he goes out, well, we need somebody to replace him, don't we?
Quite right, but I suppose you've still got Sacco, Martin Kelly.
You like Sacco? I think he's strong in the air. I think he probably, had he been at Stoke, he might have maybe done a little bit better, you know, brought a bit more command to things. I think he's a bit jittery at times on the ball. I kind of, you know, look at him and can you trust him in certain situations under a bit of pressure? But I think you have to give him, I suppose, a little bit more time because he is new to it.
Yeah, he's new.
And, you know,
As is Sissoko, he's another one.
Well, I think left back is a kind of a problem area now.
Right.
I'm not sure whether he's going to kind of develop sufficiently, Sissoko, to make the grade. I think he's probably got a few shortcomings, shall we say.
And I'm a great believer that your 2 full backs now are vital.
Well,
in the game, they really are. They give you the width that you need. And the
service to the front players.
They've got to be able to defend and they've got to be able to attack with the final product. But ours don't have that really, I don't think, at this moment.
But you know, that's even going back to kind of my time in the side, as much as I was encouraged to go forward, and sometimes we played with a 3 and myself and Stevie Nicol to push on, my first job was as a defender.
Exactly.
That was my job, and that's what I had to kind of focus on. That was the priority, and I'm not sure that
you know, with what's there at the moment, I think Glenn Johnson's a top-notch fullback. Don't get me wrong, but at times he as well can be found wanted a little bit on doing the basics and getting the fundamentals right as a defender. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an area where both fullbacks. Jose Enrique's had an operation, so he's kind of out. But I mean, even the likes of Luke Shaw at Southampton, I know there's a lot of people chasing him. But you know, good young fullback, and I think Liverpool could do with somebody solid, certainly at left back.
I mean, Glenn at the minute, Glenn Johnson at the minute is between the devil and the deep blue sea. He's neither defending nor getting results at the other end. Now he just needs to look at his game a little bit, and think, as you say, prioritise. You have to, as a fullback, you have to be a defender, and when you get a chance to go forward, then you've got to produce something. So if he can improve again a bit, we know he's got it in him, but just at this moment he's getting caught in just some daft positions, and experienced players shouldn't get that.
Defensively he's never been the greatest defender. I think we would all hold a hand up to that one, but attack wise I think we should get more from him. He can get in positions, and we've seen fullbacks in other teams get in those positions, coming in from the corner of the box, and you know, him and his left foot, see. And I'm thinking, Glenn, you should be banging these balls at the target here, you know, because he can get there. And I don't think he himself has got the confidence to finish it off, to go on.
I think you're spot on, Ian, as well. As you say, so if he's not like giving us something attacking wise, and he's not defending well, we've got a little bit of a problem there, haven't we?
Yeah.
I mean, and we do know that. I mean, I'm not knocking Glenn Johnson, only because we know he's got so much more in his locker.
Yeah.
Lack of confidence a little bit. Somebody come back from injury, you know, something. A lot of things happen to football that makes it more difficult. But him at his best would be fantastic. But at this moment, he's not, like we talked about, Coutinho is not quite at his best.
Certainly, Homer. I think the model is Man City, isn't it? Look what Man City's fullbacks are doing at the moment, Zabaleta and Kolarov.
Kolarov threatens to death, doesn't he?
You know, they're brilliant. And the kind of, you know, often when he picks his kind of full strength side, you'll have Nasri and you'll have Silva like drifting inside. So the two fullbacks and the late runs they make are brilliant in the way they time it. And they've got it off to a tee at the Etihad. You know, if Liverpool could get something like that going, then you get much more value out of both sides.
Well, I think to get that, to be fair, obviously we're talking about the back four, but it's about the whole team. The back four needs to be a more consistent
structure as a unit.
But we've been unfortunate with injuries. We've had to change. You know, Torrey was injured, and then Agger's always getting little niggles.
Yeah.
If we could get something that's there, you know, again, when you played in when you've been winning leagues, your back four
is consistent.
Mostly played all the games.
All the time.
You know what I mean?
It's an area you don't kind of tweak.
You don't. I don't think Ben's tweaking. He's just, unfortunately, he's had to deal because of injuries. Yeah.
Now, can I take us on now to the attacking side of the game, boys? And I've got a bit out of the press this week about...
You're not going to become a stat man.
I'm just going to bring this up, the stat man. I mean, stats drive me crazy. I may have said that on this podcast before, but it drives
me. You're not
the
old
man. I am from the old school where you look at the game and you go, yeah, they're attacking, they're good at this and they're good at that. And that's your judgment. But someone will come in and give you a bit of paper and say they had, you know, 78% of this and their possession of this and that. And you're going, well...
And they got beat 3-0.
Well, Aston Villa. What about Aston Villa? I mean, Paul Lambert said, you know, he said, I don't care if we get possession. And I thought, well, that's crazy, son, because, you know, if you've not got possession, it means the other team have got possession. And you can't score if you don't get the ball.
He said a few daft things lately, hasn't he?
I think the pressure's building on him. But, I mean, you can only score if you've got the ball.
Yeah. By the way, Tottenham had a higher percentage of possession at the Etihad and they lost 6-0.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This is all the... You know, I'm telling you, you could shoot them down. But so I've got this one here, I thought I'll bring it along. King Louis, so now he's now the king. So we've got the king. But is he... Question here, is he going to be the best ever? And that's saying something. Liverpool striker. We've had some real crackers over the years. But the record for the Premier League is 34 goals in the Premier League, not the way it was before. 34 goals, and that was Alan Shearer, Andy Cole, and you know. Now, our man's got 22 now, and he missed 5 games due to indiscretions.
Yeah.
but... He has got 22 goals in 16 appearances. A percentage, whatever this means, 1.38.
percentage. So he's leading the goals tally at the moment. It's just incredible to think that, you know, having missed five games, he's up there leading it all. Can he go on? I mean, can he? I think he can, of course I do. To break the record.
Yeah.
The Premier League record.
Yeah,
of 34 goals.
An emphatic yes. And I think if he does it, having given everybody a five-game start, it'll be all the more incredible.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
I think he's got everything, Saint. He's got... I mean, to start with, I don't remember seeing a player, Peter Beardsley maybe, in some fashion, but most strikers try to keep the ball as far away from defenders as they can. He turns back into
them. He turns into them. Legs and everything.
Plays one-twos off the shins, and means it.
Yeah. They can't sort their feet out, the nutmegs he gets, but he's got all that kind of deftness in the box. Mm-hmm. He's got all the trickery in the world, and yet he's got a power from range as well. And his dead ball
plus
expertise.
Plus his work rate,
yeah.
Team play.
Yeah.
I mean, the lad's got more or less everything in many ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, again...
But aren't we looking at a kind of a... I think we're looking at a more mature version now. I think... You know, I think the fact that he's committed himself without a guarantee of Champions League football to the club is a good thing. I think having the armband for a little while while Stevie was out, I think is good. He's got more responsibility now. And I think he realises now his position, that he's more of a role model. I think he's very conscious of his behaviour. And so I think we're looking at a much better version all around. I think he's a better person as well.
Well, I think if you go back to previous seasons when he's made his actual... scoring rate was pretty average, pretty poor. And I remember talking to Rushy about him, and he said, if he'd be a better finisher, he'd be a great player. No, and last year, to be fair, he was scoring like 1 in 6 or 1 in 10. Like, I mean, he wasn't putting the thing away. Now, by the way, it's touch wood. He's phenomenal. Everything he gets, you think is going to go in. And if it doesn't go in, he's back up. What's next?
That's what I like about him now. He stopped all that, like, sitting around looking at referees and rolling around and all the things that he did.
Waving his arms.
In his early, I think, you know, somebody has got to him and said, you know, just play the game, son. Yeah. And everybody will love you for it.
Somebody
just
said to me the other day, who was the greatest player ever played for Liverpool? And of course, it's so difficult because it's normally about forwards, isn't it? At the end of the day, so we've had loads of great defenders, midfield players, forward.
Well, that's what I'm saying. At this moment in time,
he's got a bit of everything.
Yeah.
To be fair, he's different to anyone we've ever had. I mean, he's like Kenny with a bit more pace. He's got something. When he hasn't got the ball, he still works for the team.
Yeah. I think that his first goal at Stoke, when I know Stoke defended terrible. But he chased it. A lot of strikers might have just thought, I've got no... He chased it, he hung in there. And you know as well, I think, you know, I played against one or two decent strikers myself. And it's true, you know, I think as a defender, when you know he's on your tail and he's on your case, you get a little bit kind of think about it a bit more.
I wouldn't get edgy, that'd be really edgy.
I think he does that to people now. And I think he causes mistakes similar to Stoke because he's got defenders. Yeah. He's got defenders really kind of worried about chasing him from behind.
Twitching.
The nice thing about him, by the way, where did he play? What position did
really
he play?
Really wants to.
What position did he play?
I mean, whatever he fancies.
But you know what? I'm just saying, we've been talking a lot about this. We get obsessed with formations and who should stand where. When a game kicks off, I mean, a lot of it can be down to your instinct, can it? Yeah. Your initiative.
Yeah.
And, you know, you play by feel. Yeah. And certainly with
where
those
the ball
things,
is,
just
you
let them get on
and
with
in
it,
the modern
you?
Game, most managers really want players to say, well, this is what you do, this. And they all, not overcoaching, but a bit of overcoach, if you like. This lad just seems to go out. I mean, I don't know what Brendan says to him. I would say to him to go out and play. And I tell you what I really think is great as well is that for Sturridge to come in and work out how to play in and around him.
Yes.
There's even maybe a greater feat. I think it's brilliant the way they don't get in each other's way. Sturridge has just thought, okay, I'm watch you, and I know where you're
going. And don't seem to be like, jealous of the other player, you know, and try to be greedy himself. I mean, they're playing each other in, aren't they?
Well,
which is good.
It's a great thing, except that one time in the Stoke game the other day, Suarez just got a goal off Sturridge, and then Louis was trying to give him one back. when he probably should have shot,
should
and then
shot,
two minutes later, then he could have given the better ball, and he shot. I mean, you got to make the decisions on the pitch as it comes.
But they did. He did return the compliment at the end, didn't he? Because Sturridge scores at the end. But you know what? I honestly think that there was a little love in as well after one of the goals, wasn't there? You could see that two of them have a great respect and an appreciation of each other. I think they're going to pull each other on. I think the fact that, you know, Sturridge has been sat there watching Luis Suarez just have an unbelievable time of it. Record number of goals, 10 goals in December for a Premier League player. No other Premier League player scored double figures in a single month. And I think he's just thought, I'm on a piece of that.
The nice thing was for Daniel is that when Luis was out in the first five games, and he had a really good spell, and that gave him great confidence.
Scored the winner in the first three games.
When you first come to Liverpool, it's a great boost for your confidence, isn't it?
Now, did you know... Here's a start for you, Jim.
Did
you know that Suarez has scored 3 goals with his left foot? He scored 16 with his right foot. So you would say he's one-footed? No, no, he's not one-footed. But he scores most of his goals with his right foot.
How many headers?
He's had 3 headers.
3 headers?
Because I think he's not a bad header.
No, you're okay.
You know, and outside the area, 7. So some of them have been stunning goals.
Yeah.
How many 30 yards?
You know the nice thing about all his goals,
and everything. Yeah,
they're all different.
Well, I mean, he has 15 goals inside the area,
and I think that's a
crucial one.
For me, if you talk about yourselves and Robbie Fowler's, I mean, you wouldn't score many outside the box.
No,
with
I don't. Outside the 6-yard ball,
with your power, being at the right place at the right time is a gift. You know, you can't. You can talk to people about it and help them. Robbie Fowler. I mean,
when you're in the crowd, on the penalty
Michael
area,
Owen,
and you can find a yard or two, and you're the man that sticks.
Roger
it
Hunt, they all had the eye. I mean, Roger was a big, powerful lad. He scored goals outside the box. But if you're an out and out striker, if you don't get goals in the 18-yard box and the 6-yard box, then you're missing the trick.
I think that is a very telling stat.
He's almost unstoppable.
And he scored 3 from free kicks. Well, we know he takes a brilliant free kick. He's only scored 3, but I mean, he's trying to score more with him, isn't he? Because he's, you know.
I mean, entertainment value. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. Luis Suarez on his own. Is, I mean, you talk about we're fortunate when we do go. We very rarely have to pay, but I would pay to watch him.
Yeah. Well, now this is where the start thing goes a bit crazy here. Shooting accuracy. You think, well, he's up there, you know, he's leading goal scorer and all that. No. Who's ahead of him in shooting accuracy? Ramsey from Arsenal, Hazard at Chelsea, Lukaku of Everton, and Aguero of Man City are all ahead of him in terms of shooting accuracy.
Well, what does that mean?
This is what we started talking about, these stats. What then? What
if
does
I
that
have one
mean?
Shot and it's on target, I'm ahead of him.
Yeah. Exactly.
But the biggest thing he's done, he's improved that ratio of shots on goal to goals.
Yeah. Talking the stats, by the way, I remember we were laughing about it in the press lounge before we went out to do our stuff on Sunday at the Britannia. Stokes, most shots at goal, Peter Crouch, 24. Liverpool, most shots at goal, Luis Suarez, 74. He's had 50 more shots than Peter Crouch. That's what you're talking about.
He might have missed 30 more chances.
But without having that stat to hand,
I'm just counter-stabbing you, by the way.
Without having that stat to hand, if we were having a conversation, you said, who would you fancy, Peter Crouch or
Suarez? Well, the thing, who's next? Is it Aguero who's kind of next in line in the Premier League goal scoring table now?
Well,
and he's way down. He's way behind him. So it is quite phenomenal what he's doing.
And to tell you the truth, the stats here I've got don't cover that. He's breaking all the records. Although Manchester City,
I just hope he keeps on doing it.
Well,
that's the biggest thing for us, isn't it, really?
What I have a lot of worry about is, say, if he has a little dry spell, which can happen.
Yeah.
To all forwards have had that throughout the years. You can have a little dry spell. Now, if he does, Sturridge has got to obviously be scoring goals. If both of them have a dry spell, who else is going to weigh in?
The only thing with Suarez, I feel his mentality is that.
He won't.
If he has one, if it's a couple of days, a couple of games, it doesn't happen for him, it doesn't bother him. it seems to me to just go, okay, next one, what's next, what's next? He does, I mean, that's the great thing about him. He has 70 shots a goal, he may have only scored 25, but he misses a chance. You know, as a coach, and or you talk to top players over the year, I don't mind you missing chances. Mm. Just make sure you keep getting in the position, because they'll go in the back of the net if you keep getting there.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, if he does now, I mean, there's every likelihood for the Villa game that he's going to start with Suarez and Sturridge.
Yes.
So, I mean, if Suarez does hit a little blip, then there's every chance that Sturridge is going to start chipping in anyway.
Yeah, but I think it's, again, you know, I agree with that. It's great having Sturridge back, but other people have still got to.
Yeah, sure.
You haven't just got to think, okay, our goal scorers are them two. It's got to be Henderson. It's got to be Steven.
Sterling's
on
form again. Sterling, he's doing really well again. Yeah.
Just going to mention him there, Sterling. I mean, I think we'd all be looking for the little fella Sterling to convert some of the good stuff he's doing now. He looks stronger.
Agreed.
You know, he's getting past defenders, and I'm looking for him now to stick the ball in the net.
Yes.
Not like regularity the way that Suarez does, but to start getting on the sheet again.
I'm sure they're kind of working on that with him in training, because there's been a few times this season where he's actually gotten through and then he's had a heavy touch, which has kind of let him down. But I think importantly as well for Sterling is that I think Brendan Rodgers had a little kind of public dig at him in the terms of sort yourself out, sort your private life out, get your focus back on your football. And he has, and he's playing really. He just needs to get a little composure back in his finishing now. Mm-hmm. And I think you've got.
But are you going back to Luis Suarez? If you go back to Luis Suarez, the season before or the season before that, Suarez was like that. He wasn't getting his fair share. He was getting in the positions, and now he's starting to score. His confidence is high. Sterling for me is now getting into these positions. The confidence has got to come, and he's going to start sticking a few in. He got through against Stoke the weekend, and he got the penalty.
Yeah.
He got the penalty because he didn't know what to do. He's actually got him instead of like saying, by the way, I'm just going to go direct into that box. I'm going to go past the guy and score. He's looking for something. Sometimes it's not there. You've got to have that confidence to go on yourself.
Yeah.
But okay, he's getting it. I think he's improving all the time. I think there's still a lot of improvement to come.
Yes.
Do you know what I liked about him as well at times, Rod? Because he got back a couple of times as well, tried to help out defensively. There's a kind of not necessarily aggression, but he's kind of standing up to the physical side of things a bit better now. He's not just kind of a lightweight winger getting back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Back helping out, I think he can be a little more physical as well. He seems to kind of be. I've learned the game a little bit in that regard, and I like that about him as well. You know, he was strong.
I just
wish
sometimes he'd be a little bit more direct. But sometimes, obviously, with the pass of the game, it's a more passing game than maybe years ago. Mm. You know, sometimes you're wide or you're in a position and you've got one against one. Mm. Certainly,
he's only 19 years old.
But certainly, you know, in their half the pitching, one against one, go for it.
Well, I think
you lose it there. I don't mind you losing it there.
Well, we all remember that decision at Man City. I thought Man City very clever as well, the way they were trying to kind of utilise him on the break, and he's making those diagonals from out to
from
in.
From right to that was good,
brilliant,
good running.
Brilliant stuff, you know. So I think, especially away from home on the break, I think he's a big factor now, isn't he? With that pace.
Well, I thought in the City game, I thought it was terrific the way they were working. Now, obviously, I would have thought they'd done it at training.
Yeah.
Where they were on the break, and he would come from the right wing position, through to centre forward position, cut right in there, and it was brilliant. And you know, City didn't know how to counter that, really, did they? And so, I think Brendan is doing a lot of good work with these young fellas, and the fact that Sterling is only a kid yet. I mean, 19-year-old, you know, he's still learning the game, obviously, and getting stronger, as you say, being able to hold people off a bit better. So. If he can again turn that into the odd goal or two, and you've got Coutinho, who Roy was saying had gone off the boil a bit, he cleared chances, hasn't he, in the last couple of games, and not finished. So if he can start putting the ball in, then we're looking at Liverpool doing what City are doing,
and that's scoring like loads of goals per game.
Not that far off, by the way.
I know.
In terms of goals,
we scored the five, but it's the other end, I'm a bit more worried about it.
But it is, you know, it's exciting then, isn't it? You know, if you've got all these potential scorers on your team, and you don't need then the holding guys, if you like, you know, say Henderson and Lucas, they can stay in the certain circle if they like, but because these other fellas will get you goals.
I love it. I love it, the way Liverpool are playing at the moment. I mean, we kind of played like that. We could kill a game back in the day in our time by knocking it back to a keeper who could then pick it up in his hands and all that. And you know, we
did. In that case, because our keepers never in the box.
But he's pretty much dismantled everything that previously existed, Brendan. He's come in with a very clear kind of blueprint, and he's put a different structure in place. He's brought some good players in, and the football that's been played at the moment, I'll take any day. I think it's wonderful to see Liverpool on the front foot again,
yes.
Rather than kind of we had a lot of defence and counter attacking, didn't we? For you know, and I just think it's a treat.
What you're saying to him is great, I think, because in there we're very quick to be on the manager's case when things go wrong. By the way, this moment in time, I think there looks to be a real good camaraderie between the lads. They look as though they want to play for the manager. The manager obviously talks to him. He's a good talker, by the way. I mean, when he first came, I thought he was one of them good talkers, doesn't do much. I think he's done a great job so far. I really feel that I can see what he's trying to do. And I just think there's an improvement there all the time. Okay, he knows there's room for more. So I think it's a big pat on the back for the manager, because as I say.
And you know, as well, I like what I've heard from the dressing room at half time at Stoke on Sunday, where supposedly he's gone and said to them, 2-0 up, squander the lead, 2-2 at half time, and then he's gone, have you got the bottle? You know, have you got the character in the bottle to go again and go and win this? Because it was horrible. I mean, it's lashing down, the wind's blowing around the Britannia. It's kind of, and you're playing against a team who are very physical and feisty. And I thought, wonderful.
Especially when you hand two goals back, two poor goals.
I think with Liverpool fans, who especially the older members, are so used to Liverpool teams that don't give in, that come back and, you know, have a go and try to win.
Even if you don't get it back sometimes, he's got at least a try to get it back. Yeah. And trying to, you know, go and win it. I mean, that for me is a real positive side to it.
So everything looks not too bad in the league, lads. The cup coming up, and Bournemouth won their game eventually against Burton 4-1, and we all travelled down to Bournemouth. I mean, it's immediately you think, well, you know, that's fine, we're in the next round, but we know, because we've played in the FA Cup ties, we know that, you know, it's not that easy.
No, I mean, I think that's the key thing when it comes to this FA Cup tie. Don't get caught out, don't think it's easy. It never is.
No.
Go there and make it easy. Go there and make it easy. Obviously, he'll make some changes, I think, at the end of the day. Although, does he need to? Because there's no games and we've got a reasonable rest at the end of the day, and it's a bit further down the line, I know. But hey, go there and mean to win it. And try and win it early in the game for me. Yeah. Get it out the way. Don't let them into it. Don't give them a shout. Because, you know, we know over the years that, at the end of the day, these little teams can give you a hard time if you don't step up.
Absolutely.
And treat them with respect. Yeah. Well, I think not too much respect.
Yeah, if you look back, Bournemouth history in the FA Cup, didn't they beat Man United once upon a time?
Ted McDougall played.
They had a big
Ted was with us,
But on the back of what Evo says, he's absolutely spot on. It's your attitude. It's your attitude going in. You've got to get your kind of mind right. You can't go in with a kind of easy attitude.
Manager as well.
Yeah, of course. He's got to get it across.
And no weakened team.
Well, it's the one before the derby, isn't it? It's the game before the derby. And I just wonder whether Brendan Rodgers might have his eye on that. And I mean, he'd love to win a cup, whatever about kind of getting in the top four doing the league. I think he'd love to win a trophy as well. I'd like to see him go pretty strong. I'd like to see him go fairly strong. There's going to be a little change or two, I'd imagine, here.
When is the derby match? Is that
on the 28th, on the Tuesday?
On the Tuesday, so okay, he might. But having said that, okay, have your big guns on the bench. One thing about it, you know, Suarez wouldn't want to sit on the bench. He hates sitting on the bench anyway, and he wants to play.
He would want to play. I think that playing, winning, scoring, it's a great habit, it's a great way for the club to be running, and everybody wants to play because everybody wants to score goals and win games. And then this stuttering business of changing, which teams do, and we've done it as well, changing maybe half a dozen players, for me, I think you're taking a risk.
I know it's a chance to play some of your players and not getting a chance. But for me, at the end of the day, you're looking to win a trophy at the end of the day. I'm, I hate going back all the time in our day. Is that, okay, you lads played every game. Sometimes with only 15. Things have changed. And the squads are big and they're trying to get there. But for me, it's still about putting out a team that you think can win.
Now, do we have, here's a question for you. Do we have, just say it wasn't Bournemouth, so let's say maybe a team with maybe more status than them. Do we have players in reserve that you, on the bench that you could say, right, we're going to play them to win us the game? Who would you say, seriously, that's sitting on the bench at Liverpool at the moment that you think should be in the team? And I'll tell you something, Roy.
Not a lot. I mean,
in fact, I would say, give me a player. Give me a player that you would say, yeah, he should be playing.
I mean, you look at obviously what's on the bench for us, and you say, are they better than the people that play for Bournemouth? They should be.
Yes,
but the whole idea of changing your team, six or seven players. Then you're trying to, how do they play together? How do they go on? And you just give them that little bit of an opening.
I remember we did the City game on Boxing Day, and City second half were able to bring on Milner, Dzeko and Garcia. Liverpool brought on Aspas and Moses, and Moses has not had the great time. Aspas has found it difficult to settle in. There's definitely kind of not the depth of squad you'd like, and I think he's looking
not
at
compared
that
to City,
and basically, you know, the media boys, the guys who are around the club all the time picking up from what they're saying is that he wants a left back, centre back, midfielder and striker, so it's like as if he wants to kind of strengthen the core of the side and he needs more backup, but he knows that, and bit by bit, and as you said, Roy, not sure whether he's going to be able to get those players. If the right player comes along, you take him anytime, but not sure if you're going to get those players, because a lot of clubs don't want to let players go at that time either, because they're going to find it hard to replace them. So but yeah, the squad certainly needs more strength. It does.
Go and try and win the game, the FA Cup. I mean, the FA Cup should be FA Cup should be a priority for me. These teams that say it's more important the league. The FA Cup should be still be a priority. It's a major competition, and it's been devalued for me by the FA letting the Premier League take over. And it's not the last game of the season now. For me, the FA Cup was fantastic.
And those type of games as well, they're still a kind of a first goal game. Yeah. Because if they get the first goal, then the whole place lifts and they kind of have a belief all of a sudden that they might be able to take one of the giants down. You know, Liverpool get it and you can see it plain sailing.
Do the people that run these competitions understand maps? Do they ever look where Liverpool are?
For the fans, it says
against
it is
Bournemouth. That's shocking.
But they don't care about that.
That's shocking.
We've seen that even over the festive period. Some of the journeys they've got to make are outrageous. They don't care about the fans. It's all about the TV companies and what they want.
Does the FA care about anything? I really care about FA.
In these deals then that they do with the TV companies, are they giving the TV companies too much power? Too much influence to dictate the times.
Well, that's all. Well, money dictates the world, Jimmy. And you work in the industry, you know better than all of us. I mean, even now, we have a kickoff at 8:10. It can only be for television. For some reason, that you get maybe more adverts.
I got the old flicker in my hand last night, and I thought, I've missed them. Game can't be on here. 8:10.
Well, that's because to make sure certain soap opera. Make sure Coronation Street, you know, gets his regular slot. That's as simple as that's an ITV thing. So.
Priorities, yes.
Yes. Well, as you know, same with your ITV connections. Yeah. You know, over the years, Coronation Street is a little important to them. Is
it? Don't ask me. Is it still on?
But does the FA actually rule anything? Yeah. The only time they make decisions, and they made decisions with Luis Suarez, and they made ridiculous decisions. I mean, to get banned from the amount of time he did. Nowadays, what decisions do they make? For me, I mean, even going back to referees and obviously the referee in Premier League and things like that. When are these referees going to be accountable to anybody? And I said it on television the other week, and Gary Neville said it the other day on Sky. They're not accountable to anybody. After the game, I mean, now they're getting paid good money. They're part of the television thing. Why do they not go on television and sometimes explain the decisions? I don't mean to make it into a debate, just go and say, well, this is how I saw it, and just give us an insight to what they've done, because there's so many applaud us. By the way, it's a tough job. They do a great job. They do a great job in the main. But they should be accountable. Maybe even a league table of referees that says, well, the top one will, you know, do FA Cup games and go to World Cups and things like that. But there's no accountability for referees for me. No, I think there should be.
The decision at the weekend in the Newcastle game where the shot went in, was it City had cleared yep. out to leave a player? In our day, before the rule was changed, the guy's blatantly offside, about 6 yards or whatever, offside. But under the new ruling, he would need to be interfering with the game in that position.
Yeah.
And the referee decided that he was blocking Joe Hart's vision.
Well, it was the assistant, wasn't it? The assistant.
Yeah.
How can he tell from... Yeah. You can't tell from that angle. How can he tell? Yeah. Nobody can tell from there. Well, the angle he was at.
It was Gouffran. I mean, I remember watching it at the time, and it was Gouffran moved. Now, maybe he just thought Gouffran was moving towards it. He was actually moving away from it.
Yeah.
It was a scandalous decision. But what followed, though, could have been avoided. I mean, Alan Pardew's done a pretty good job up at Newcastle. But I think he's a bit erratic at times. I think his behaviour, I think he in the past, he stirs it a bit with the opposition bench at times. Kind of, he's a bit of a wind-up merchant at times. And I think he probably regrets.
Yeah, of course
he does. He's let himself down. He's gone too far in saying what he said to Pellegrini.
Foul and abusive language.
Listen, you can have a bit of a ding dong. I'm sure you had a few right in your time. But exactly, he didn't need to take it to that level.
No, but I think...
Unfortunately,
the frustration is there, and also the cameras are on you now all the time. I mean, you see like managers, players, hand over the mouth, referees even like stand there, and they're talking to the linesman, talking to them, hand over the mouth because the television cast is on, and they're great lip readers at the end of the day. Hey, we've called each other all sorts of names. We've even had argy bargy going up the tunnel.
Yeah,
it's part of life. Yeah. But nowadays, unfortunately, it's right in your face.
In the old days, the managers used to sit in the stand. Shanks always sat in the stand.
Yeah,
he never was in the dugout.
No, that's right.
No. Bob, would the Bob eventually go in the dugout?
I think Bob was always a dugout man. I think Shanks was never a dugout man, was he?
No, he'd never been a
most
trainer,
managers of them days
them,
never
yeah.
did the training or the things. So when you've been down there, you find it difficult to go and sit up in the stands. I think.
I think. Being up there in the stand is a place for them. I mean, a better view of the game. You know, if you're in dugouts, you're getting worm's eye view. You sit up in the stand, and that keeps them away from the fourth official.
But it sticks you next to your chairman or your thing, and you'd rather be down with the fourth official.
No, I do think that sitting down there and this fourth official standing there like a lemon. And you're seeing a decision go against you. You jump up. You have a word with him, don't you?
Yeah.
What was he? You
it's not his fault, is it?
It's not his fault. No. So,
I listen. I think all that's fine. I think, and I think they know that, and I think they take that now. The fourth officials, but you need to keep it to a certain level. You don't need to kind of let it get out of hand in terms of the language you use. And that's
just unfortunate that it's picked up. I don't think it was right, by the way, and he has apologised.
I'll tell you something.
And by the way,
the apology was accepted.
He's been
maybe picked a right man to have a cuss and swear at. There's other managers, if he'd have done that, might have given
him a smack
in the
mouth. He's not exactly a young boy,
is he? You see, what did you say there when you called me?
Yeah. Well, we know if you'd have been sat on the bench, I would not have taken.
<No.
laughs> I mean, Pardew's not exactly young, is he? Hey, he's not exactly a young man, is he? Like a young boy.
So, but referees in general this year, I think they've been poor. I think there've been a lot of very poor decisions. We've had our share of that in games. Decisions.
Well, the two over Christmas, but apparently, I mean, I didn't see the game.
Shocker! Roy, believe me, the one at City was a shocker. Yeah. You know,
and you get them. I mean, I understand, and people say they even themselves out. Well, I don't think they do actually.
Do you know? But on the offside ones, like you're talking about the one at City, saying I can kind of maybe forgive a little bit more if the ball's travelled from a long way, because you can't see both. You can't see the guy who's whipping the pass forward and the guy making the run. But when it's in a kind of a confined little space, which that pretty much was, as Sterling was slipped through, they should be able to take all that in.
Was he close to the linesman?
You know.
Was he close to the linesman?
Well, he's right in the middle of the pitch. He's kind of running from out to in. But he should still... And I know there's a crossover, because they're pushing up and Sterling's going the other way, but it was a bad one.
Jim's saying the player who's playing the ball is not that far from the player receiving the ball.
Yeah.
So your focus is on the ball.
Exactly.
And you can see... And it was so blatantly onside. Yeah. It's not as if, as you say, somebody was kicking it from deep in their own half, and you've looked at it in the air, and everything. Yeah. Oh, he's awesome.
And the ruling used to be in favour of the forward.
Yeah.
If you know, if there was any doubt, it was in the favour of the forward. In the day, even if you go back to the rules, you say, well, okay, when the Newcastle guy scored, he would say he's offside. Yeah. But there was a referee's discretion.
But you know what, though,
which has been taken away now, isn't it?
All the assistants, just watching them still, they'd rather put a flag up and get stick for giving an offside that wasn't, rather than not putting the flag up and allowing a goal that wasn't.
Yeah.
I tell you, that's what they do. Yeah. So the flag, this benefit of the doubt just doesn't happen. They'll just flag, in my opinion, anyway, most of the time, they just go, well, I get less stick for doing that. So they just
flag. I don't think they should have that sort of thinking at all. It should be a case of being good at their jobs and give what you think honestly. And I think that's all we're asking, is a bit of honesty.
But you know, the other thing is, I remember Glenn Hoddle particularly was like very strong on making referees professional and just kind of liaising more with players, with clubs, with each other and all that. It still doesn't take away from the fact that you've got to call things in a split second.
And it's hard. You get
it's
the
really
hard.
You know, it's very hard.
I mean, like Brendan got criticised or got done for £8,000 for saying the guy...
his geographical bias.
And by the way, Brendan was right, maybe not right to say it, and the implication for me wasn't that the guy cheated, but he should have never been put in that position by the FA or the Premier League that he lives in Greater Manchester and he's on the pitch. You shouldn't give people a chance to say that, oh, well, he's a local Mancunian or not. That should never have been. That should never happen in the game. And I don't know who points them now. Is it the Premier League or is it the FA? I don't know who points the referees these days. But somewhere along the line, they should never have appointed that guy. And I'm not saying for one minute that he had anything in his mind or any referees, because I think our referees are straightforward lads, and it's a tough job. But they shouldn't be put in that position.
Well, I go back to the days when I was playing for the first time, they came up with an idea and they said the referees are going to go into the dressing room and talk to the players before the game, right? So we're all getting our boots on, knock on the door, yeah, and you come, ref Shanks, and Mrs. Shankly, I'd just like to say to the players, you know, that play the whistle, I'm part-time man. I mean, he was nervous. He said, I'm a car mechanic actually, he trained and that, you know. He said, and so the enemy get anything they'd like to ask. And Smitty, Tommy Smith said, yeah, he said, I'm having a bit of trouble with my car at the moment. Could you ever look at it after the game? I mean, that's referees were so terrified of the players.
At least they joined in a bit of banter, and it never came off the pitch, did it? I mean, they might say,
and well, something.
I think that still happens because Clattenburg recently with Lallana, and you know, right. there's nothing in that. Southampton were making a big deal of it. There's nothing wrong with a referee having a little chip back at a player. It's all part of it. You trade the old little dig at one another.
A referee said to me once about, you know,
once.
And it was unusual what he said. He said, after something had happened, he said, my son's a big fan of yours, he said, you've let him down. His son. And I'm walking away thinking, what is he talking about? You know, his son's a big fan of me. But it gave me food for thought. You know, just say. And in Scotland, we had a referee, Big Tiny Wharton was his name.
I remember Big Tiny? Yeah.
And he always called you Mr. Mr. St. John, I'll have no more of that. And you go, okay, referee, thank you. And players had respect for referees back then. Seriously, we did. To curse and swear that a referee was just not on. He just wouldn't do it because they had that respect.
It's like when Lallana actually said, okay, the referee said this to me. Right. So if the referee did swear, I said, okay, for me, it's part, it's on the pitch, whatever. So if I was the referees now, I'd say, well, okay, if swearing is such a bad thing, and I don't agree with that, I mean, you shouldn't be swearing really at the end of the day, but if it happens on the pitch, I mean, no, So every time a player swears now, you just get your red card and go back.
I don't think you can't have it both ways.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't even think swearing was an issue. I think he basically just said to him, since you've gotten the England squad, you've got you've gone big headed. Yeah. So it's just a little bit of a thing happened.
That's what annoyed the boys. That's what annoyed them. That you know that whenever you think that because he'd got a cap. His head's gone.
When we sent a league years ago, we like won the league by Easter, and we were getting presented with a trophy, and there was 15,000-16,000 all in the main stand, and I'm shouting at the referee, rubbish, you know, give us a decision. And to be fair, he stopped it. Just a local referee or Lancashire, whatever, he said, right, come here, you. And I went, no, and all the crowd are going, oh, go on, get there. So I walked 25 yards on the pitch, and I'm like off the bench, and I go up to him like that, and he went, you feel right idiot now, don't you? Off you go. And the steam's coming out of me. And I go back and sit on the bench, and half time comes and I go down the tunnel, and I bang on his door, and he opens the door, and he went, oh, I went, brilliant. And it was brilliant. Yeah. I mean, it was diffused.
It's 11. Oh, okay, well, before we finish, let's look forward to the weekend game. Aston Villa, who we saw the other day, and they don't actually impress you too much, the Villa, do they? But again, a bit like we were talking about Bournemouth before, it's not a game that you're ever going to have to take lightly.
Did they win at Anfield last season?
They did.
The only thing I'll say about Villa is that if they get it right at the back, they're dangerous on the counter-attack, aren't they? They've got pace, and some games can suit them. But listen, the way Liverpool are going at the moment, certainly after the high at Stoke and what they did going forward, I put my money on Liverpool getting a good solid win against Villa.
But exactly the case, what you said, is that when they came to Anfield last year, in the first 25 minutes, Liverpool should have won the game. Should have been all over. Let them back in the game, and to be fair, they did counter attack us, and to be fair, they've got people capable.
Maybe what happened at Stoke then, and you know, kind of having to win the game twice, might help. Just kind of the focus going into this one, kind of no complacency whatsoever, and just, you know, get the job done.
Again, they're a bit like us. They've got players with ability to score goals that don't seem to actually gel as a team sometimes. But when they do, they are dangerous. At the end of the day, certainly. Again, we were talking about the Stoke game. The first game of the season was very important. If he hadn't saved that penalty, Minelli, got a little bit of camaraderie going. They got the 3 points, and so the Stoke game just recently again was a big game because it put us back in the top four. It's really important you follow up on that and don't give points away. You know, I won't say smaller teams, wrong word, but the teams that you feel that you should beat, you've got to make sure you do beat them and not just, you know.
And it's a kind of momentum thing now because, like, the Villa game, Bournemouth in the Cup, the Derby, which is going to be a huge Derby considering Everton are going well. And then, you know,
you're allowed to say that.
It's too late now.
It's very serious. I mean,
yeah, they are.
A little bit of praise where praise is due.
Exactly, they are going well. I mean, Martinez has done terrific. You know, and then of course, early February, Arsenal at Anfield, another huge one. So getting momentum now, getting a little bit of belief and confidence going again, I think is very important going into those bigger games now.
But even to be fair, in my time as manager, the ones that did us with the Aston Villas and the big games. Well, okay, you draw and you against the big teams. The ones you expect to beat, the ones you've got to beat. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you don't go on a pitch expecting to win. You've got to make sure you.
As Jim said there before, that defensively they're not that good, which we are good attacking. So
is that us or them?
No, them. Them, they're not that
as well.
Good. So I would look on the game of the Villa as one where our boys could, I'm not saying they fill their boots on it, but you know, get in among the goals there. I'm quite confident about that. Okay, just a couple of things that's happened during the week. Luis Garcia, one of our former players, has retired. Fond memories of him?
I wouldn't say that for me. No, I didn't work with him. No, he was after my time. I think Rafa brought him in, didn't he? Really, I think Rafa or Gerard, I wouldn't say that. But again, he was. And some entertainment value. I don't think he wasn't the greatest player. Obviously, he scored some vital goals on the way to
Well, the Chelsea goal, as Mourinho calls it, the ghost goal. That's what he'll always be remembered for.
I always, when I talk to anybody who says a Chelsea fan, I go, by the way, that ball was never over the line. And they go mad, don't they?
Because
they're looking for an argument with you, you know, and I go, never over the line, I was there. Oh, yes. But no, he did.
He could give it away, Luis Garcia as well.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. But Jermaine Defoe, now here's the thing, he's 31 year old, he's going to Toronto. Okay. Spurs get $8 million. $8 million. For a 31 year old going out of the country. And would you say Jermaine Defoe, would you, if you were at a football club, would you buy Jermaine Defoe and would you pay $8 million for him?
I think if in that American league and to be fair,
I'm talking about UK. America, he'll probably score a few goals, won't he?
Oh, he'll score goals.
Is Pelé still playing there?
I think he's just retired. Pelé
played there before me, by the way. Yeah.
So I don't think it's the toughest league.
I think again,
it's getting better.
It's not an easy league, but it's not in status to whatever. Yeah. And by the way, the Americans are creeping up quickly in the international side of things, sitting in their youth side as well. But at the end of the day, he starts thinking about, well, I think it'll be okay for World Cup. So if he wants to be in the World Cup, stay in the country.
Do you think Roy would go to Toronto to have a look at him? I don't think so.
He didn't have to go far these days. The television shows you everything.
Going for a bit of skiing, maybe. You know,
fancy trip. He might go for.
I must be honest.
I'm surprised at it. It's good money. It's good money for Tottenham. But he should be looking to stay a lot closer to home.
I'm always surprised at that. The lad doesn't get a regular place in Tottenham's team because he is a threat, but he is a goal threat with a bit of pace. But
well, he's obviously got fed up, hasn't he? Yeah. He's got frustrated because the fact that Adebayor is now fit and Soldado and Tim Sherwood's gone for the 4-4-2, and he's not in his plan. So he's obviously told him he doesn't want to sit on the bench.
If he's gone for playing reasons, I would go great, because I am a great believer in players should play.
Yeah.
And if you just want to sit there on the bench and take your money, I don't like that. But. Yeah. Guys that want to go and play say, well, I'm not playing here, I'd rather go somewhere for less money.
It's a strange choice though. They're 31. I mean, he still could have gone to America in a couple of years, or Canada as this is, in a couple of years, you know. He could easily have picked up another good club in the Premier League, no shadow. Or even somewhere on the continent if he wanted to. But to go there and jeopardise his World Cup, Brazil, I'm very surprised.
Nice part of the world, though, Jim.
Yeah.
Toronto.
So you don't think money's come into it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I'm reputedly getting $80,000 a week.
Well, presumably we'd be getting something similar like that at Tottenham, wouldn't you?
That's no dollars.
In today's wages. So.
Yeah. That's surprising as well, because there's supposed to be a kind of system in place with a lot of the clubs in America where it's kind of capped, and unless they're kind of releasing that a bit now, and they're kind of loosening the whole grip they had on the finances,
putting all their money in the one cap.
That seems to be, you know.
Yeah. When I went to Philadelphia, we got 50 quid a week, and we actually won the league. So there you go.
You won the league, Roy, in Philadelphia. What year was that?
1974.
Times have changed. Have they still got a team?
Yeah, they are doing okay as well. Yeah, I went over last year for a reunion and.
And Stevie Nicol is at
Stevie Nicol's was with
TV
Boston.
Now
he's TV, but he won a couple as a manager before he did really well.
Yeah.
He got to three finals in 4 years, didn't he?
Did really well.
You know, but I don't think he won any of them. I think he was a bit unlucky the way.
Well, there's a guy who never thought of being a manager, did you?
Yeah.
Never a million years.
But what a player, by the way.
Oh, aye. Oh, terrific. Terrific. And Bruce is over there as well, isn't he?
He's Canada.
He's Canada. Toronto or where is he?
Just outside
Vancouver.
Yeah, he's wherever he wants to be.
But he's not in his box there.
Oh, exactly. All right, so we'll wind it up, boys, at that point, and thanks very much.
Thank you, and very enjoyable.
And Jim, so that's it from Five Times, Liverpool former players website and podcast, I should say, rather than a website. Yeah, I'll need to get all these little things right. So there we go. From Ancient John, have a good week, and let's hope for a great weekend.
The legends are going on tour, and again, there's a silver lining. Dublin, February 27th, 2014. Olympic Theatre, Dublin. Jamie Carragher and Diddy Herman. Their Champions League story. Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman, and Jason McAteer. Norway, 26th and 27th of March, 2014. In Oslo and Bergen. All the details online, fivetimes.co. Tickets already selling fast. Don't be the one to miss out. Fivetimes.co.